This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Jeff Polin, who is the Arts Education Program Manager for Americans for the Arts. And this is a particularly important time for people to think about the importance of arts to education, because if we look at the national scene and what's happening, arts as a issue, as a sense of creativity, as a cultural importance to the United States, are under siege. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about what the national outlook is and why it's so important to understand why the arts are important to education.
First of all, thank you so much for taking the time to chat today. Americans for the Arts is the nation's leading organization for the advancement of the arts and arts education. We've been around for about 50-plus years working on building an infrastructure to support public giving in the arts, access to arts education for America's students, and the arts interjecting to all elements of community life to create healthy, vibrant, and creative communities. So Americans for the Arts today is working on a number of different issues. At the forefront of our minds are definitely the public investment in the arts, as well as access to arts education for the students throughout the country. At the moment, we are facing some challenges in Washington, D.C. from the administration. However, we're seeing successes in Congress and in states throughout the nation.
And the successes are really because people really do understand the importance of the arts. If you do surveys and you ask Americans, are arts important to education? 9 out of 10 people are going to say, yes, it's important. And yet, at a public policy level, it's under siege.
Absolutely. And we did a study in early 2015 that revealed just that. 89% or 9 out of 10 Americans believe that the arts are part of a well-rounded education for every child. And that statistic has been significant and consistent for decades. So we know that it's there. So when it comes to telling our decision makers about the transformative power of the arts in education, we must remind them that their constituents, their community members, and their neighbors all really believe that that is true and that we must support it through policy and through funding.
So the Americans for the Arts has a very interesting structure because it's a place where people can go to find out how to be an advocate for the arts and also what the research is on the arts.
Absolutely. We have a huge research and policy team that just last week released the new economic figures about the economic impact of the arts, which are available on our website, americansforthearts.org, as well as aggregating research about arts and education. So, for example, we know that students who participate in the arts have a dropout rate of only 4%, where their non-arts peers have a dropout rate of 22%, a fact that is hugely popular with superintendents, school boards, mayors, and so forth. We know that students who participate in the arts in high school score on average 100 points higher on their SATs. We know that students who participate in the arts through middle school later on in life are more likely to volunteer, they're more likely to serve on a nonprofit board, and they're more likely to vote in elections. So civic engagement is huge. Additionally, we know that students who participate in the arts through their school years from K to 12 have cognitive benefits and overcome some of the most challenging circumstances that anyone might have growing up in poverty, being living through traumatic experiences, or otherwise dealing with educational obstacles like learning English as a second language or facing an intellectual or developmental disability.
So we have the research. We know the arts help kids do better in school and do better in life. But there is a disconnect between the research and what actually happens in schools throughout the United States, because it is very rare to find any school district that has sequential arts in all the areas of arts that we know are important. So what do you do to try to make that connection?
First, we seek the alignment of federal, state, and local policy. Because of the nature of education policy in the United States, we don't just have a one-size-fits-all solution in Washington. Everything is done at a state or a local level. In December of 2015, President Obama signed into law the Every Student Succeeds Act, which is the new federal education law replacing No Child Left Behind. Now, this law, we brought together about 90 national partners in the arts to bring an ask to Congress to include the arts provisions throughout the bill. Now, In the end, when it was signed into law, there are about 12 arts-friendly provisions, as we call them. One, the arts are named as one of the subjects that must be taught to every student. It's further defined as dance, media arts, music, theater, and visual arts. Additionally, the arts are included throughout the bill in Title I for our most disadvantaged students as a strategy for dealing with the challenges that those schools and districts face. It was included in Title II to talk about teacher professional development, out-of-school time arts programs being engaged in that, other educators like teaching artists, and third spaces like community theaters, music halls, dance companies, and arts education organizations. Additionally, there's new money specifically geared towards providing a well-rounded education so that we know every community has the opportunity through a needs assessment that must be conducted in the next school year to articulate the gap in arts education that exists and to access new funds from the federal government to help correct that and ensure equitable access to all students in their communities and in their districts. Now, we seek that alignment because the federal law, which has those opportunities, must be implemented at the state level. So throughout the year, arts advocates in every single state across the nation have been sitting at the table talking about these opportunities to advance the arts in their state-level policies. Now next year, it's up to communities, and we must hold our community leaders accountable as parents, as students, as educators, as local business leaders who want to see the workforce of the next century. We all must stand together to ensure that creativity is the ultimate outcome of the arts education in our communities.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Jeff Polin, who is the Arts Education Project Manager with Americans for the Arts. It's a particularly important time in the United States to think about arts and our whole cultural relevance and how schools and school districts are integrating the arts into classes for all the children. Now, you talked about a lot of the provisions that are in the new Every Student Succeeds Act, what people call ESSA, but a lot of that is permissive language. It doesn't say you have to do it. And how do you move from you can use this funding if you decide to use it for poor children to help them in the arts to communities making that decision?
Well, we really work on a strategy of making everybody a leader in their community and giving them the tools and resources necessary to move from just being an arts education supporter to becoming an effective arts education advocate. So we have a number of tools on our website that I would direct people to at www.americansforthearts.org. The first is the Arts Education Navigator, which is a six-step process that walks individuals through understanding their place in the ecosystem, understanding their power as a parent, as a student, as an educator, as a business leader, as an education leader, whoever you may be, to know how you can use your voice through the legal system, through our political system, or just in your community with effective strategies. Then we hope to inform people about their state-level policy, all of the research and data that they need to know. And then we walk them through a strategy of determining their next steps to actually make an ask, whether it be meet with the principal, speak at a school board meeting, file a petition, write a letter to Congress. Regardless of the strategy, we know that people can use their voice to be effective. And I'll tell you exactly how. In East Lansing, Michigan, in 2014, the school district wanted to eliminate all of the arts education positions and rely only on community-based arts partners. Now, it might seem like a great measure to fix the budget. However, we know that we must incorporate our community-based arts partners with our certified arts educators, along with all of the other subjects using the arts as a strategy for learning through history and science and math and English. But what they did is they were able to rally the community and bring all of the stakeholders to the table to talk about other ways to fix the budget, but to maintain the funding for arts education in their community. They were using the strategies that we have on our website to effectively advocate for the arts, using those data and their personal stories to make the case and make the ask for a change in policy. Additionally, we have a toolkit that's specifically geared towards those advocates that are looking at those opportunities for advocacy. The Encourage Creativity, Teach the Arts Toolkit is available on our website at americansforthearts.org/encouragecreativity. It consists of four different videos, one that's great to share on social media, another that tells the story through a documentary of three different students learning in the home, the school, and the community, and the last shares all of the data and figures that we know about arts education through scientific studies. So accompanying that are toolkits on how to make the case specifically to members or decision-making members of your community, whether they be principals, school board members, superintendents, or funders in the business community. Accompanying those are tools that you can print out, ready to go, and have handouts at your advocacy moments. All of it's ready on our website and available for use. And if there's any need of anyone in the community, they can always feel free to reach out to a member of our team.
So there's lots of resources for parents and community members to look at and say, I can use this because they just announced they were cutting the arts in our school, and what do I do? You go to the website for Americans for the Arts and get some resources. Now, Jeff, a lot of times people are in positions of program managers or whatever it is, and it's just a job, but is it something more than a job to you?
Absolutely. I'm a direct product of arts education and very proud to say that. I grew up in a small, very arts-rich community in southern Maine where I didn't even realize how lucky I was to have dance, music, theater, and visual art K through 12 and out of school. I started tap dancing actually when I was just about 2.5 years old and entered the community theater when I was 6. I was Michael and Peter Pan. It was fantastic. And later in my life, as I pursued a career as a performer, I realized when I traveled the country that not every student had the opportunities that I did. And that made me kind of mad. So as I went back to school and studied the field of arts management, began producing, and ended up studying cultural policy to look at those policy solutions to the inequities that I saw in arts education, doing some work abroad, doing work back here in the United States. And what I discovered through a lot of my observations are that students in states where there isn't proper funding, don't have access to arts education. Students in rural communities don't have the same access to arts education. Specific groups of students like our LGBT community students, are members of the English language learner community, or students with intellectual and developmental disabilities are simply just denied. When you look at the data, former Secretary of Education Arne Duncan actually declared that arts education was a civil rights issue because you overlay socioeconomic class and race with access to arts education. And it's the rich white students that have access to arts education and poor students of color who don't. So we must seek policy solutions to fix these inequities. And it has become a great passion of mine and also the sweet spot of being able to do something I love, being paid for what I do, and doing something I'm passionate about.
Well, thanks, Jeff, for joining me. It's always great to hear people talk about how they relate their life to their work, because that's one of the greatest things that you can do, is do something you love to do. And you're advocating for arts education in our communities and in our schools. So thanks again for joining me. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.